turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. David is reminding himself of the Lord's mercies, and he blesses the Lord for all his benefits. God forgives his sins, he heals his diseases, he redeems him, he crowns him with loving kindness. God relieves all of his oppressed people, he teaches them, and he does all of this because he is merciful and forbearing. He has mercy upon them. He doesn't always chide them, though they are always sinning. No, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The Lord is long-suffering. He is forbearing. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And we will first notice our sins and iniquities, and secondly, God's dealing with us in mercy. First, our sins and iniquities, and secondly, God's dealing with us in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, here is an implied confession. If God has not dealt with us after our sins, well, we must have sins. If he has not rewarded us according to our iniquities, then it must be the case that we do have iniquities that he has not rewarded us according to. So we have sins. We have iniquities. Here is an implied confession. We would not say that this is a penitential psalm, but it is not a psalm without confession. And all believers know that they are sinners. If Jesus is their Savior, then he is a Savior from their sins. His name was called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the fact is, if we do not know and feel that we are sinners, then we are not believers, because every believer knows that he or she is a sinner, and that is why they believe in Jesus, to save them from their sins. God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He could have done so. We would have expected him to do so. We would have expected that God would deal with us after our sins, that he would reward us according to our iniquities. We deserve to be punished. We deserve that God would deal with us in strict justice, just as we deserve. And why is that? Because we are sinners. And what is sin? A sin is missing the mark. That is the Hebrew word for missing the mark. It is translated in English sin. Literally, it is missing the mark. And what is the mark? It is God's law. We have missed the mark. We have failed to reach the perfect standard of God's law and perfect obedience. We have missed the mark of obedience be what we ought to be, live according to God's commandments. For example, a child of God may say, I should have been humble, but I was proud. I missed the mark. I should have been content, but I missed the mark. I was murmuring. I was complaining. I missed the mark. I should have been long-suffering, but I missed the mark. I was impatient. I failed. I missed the mark. I have many sins. In fact, my sins are so many I cannot count them all. And who can understand his errors? They are so many, they are so great. The mark, if you think about it, is constant uninterrupted love to God. Love to God with all the heart and all the soul and all the mind and all the strength. And who of us has reached that mark? We have missed the mark, all of us, and we are missing the mark all the time, constantly failing to reach the mark. We are missing the mark every second. But God hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What is iniquity? Iniquity is perverseness. It is speaking of that which is crooked and distorted. Here is good, here is evil. You would expect the heart to choose good, but instead it chooses evil. Surprise! And it's because our hearts are perverted. There is crookedness within. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You would expect man, who was created after the image of God, to choose righteousness, to choose holiness, but instead his heart goes after wickedness. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. The woe is pronounced upon all those who choose evil as if it were good. Just like the Israelites, who sadly lusted after evil things, even though they were God's chosen people. They lusted after evil things. And we should be saying, "Oh, my evil heart, how perverse is my heart, wandering off from God." You would expect all the sheep to follow the shepherd, but instead they follow the devil, some of them. And all of us by nature are children of the devil, going astray, following the father of lies, believing the lies of Satan and not the truth of Christ. Our wills are prone to evil, following crooked ways because of our crooked hearts. And we should be confessing our sin, saying, "I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. I got no benefit from sin. I got no benefit, no lasting profit and reward from following my crooked heart. It only brings me into trouble. It brings me under God's wrath. I get no gain. And if I go on that way, I will go to hell." But God hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We deserve that he would. We deserve that we would be separated from God to all eternity. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That is what we deserve. But he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so, in the second place, we consider God hath not dealt with us after our sins and iniquities. That he deals with us in mercy. And perhaps the psalmist David here is thinking of the Israelites indeed. The Israelites in the wilderness, how time and again they provoked the Lord to anger, but the Lord did not consume them utterly. Although he had threatened to do so, he would wipe them all out and make of Moses a great nation. He would start all over again with one person, Moses, and all of his children would be a great nation. But no, he did not consume them. He did not deal with them after their sins. They deserved to be consumed, but he is long-suffering. He bore with them for a long time, and he did not deal with them after their sins, and he did not reward the children of Israel according to their iniquities. And the fact is, God has not dealt with any of us this night according to our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Not one of us has been dealt with according to the strict, inflexible justice of God. And that is showing us that there is hope for us, that if God has yet spared us, then it is a sign that there is mercy offered to us, that if we come to the Savior and trust in him now, we will be spared for eternity. At the moment, we're spared, we're on mercy's ground. But if we reject the mercy of God, if we don't come to Christ, and we die in that condition, then we will perish in hell. But the fact that God has not yet dealt with us according to our sins, he has not punished us, he's not cast us into hell, there's hope for us. And Christ is offered to us again. And how we should then flee from the wrath to come to Christ, the Savior, who is offered to us freely. God has not dealt with us after our sins. If he did, we would be in hell this moment. But we're not. We're on the ground of mercy. And there's hope for us in Christ. Then flee to him, and he will save you. God has not dealt with his people after their sins. He has not rewarded them according to their iniquities. In fact, for every believer, he has pardoned them. That is how God is dealing with them, in a way of free forgiveness. He has not dealt with us after our sins. No, he has pardoned our sins. We have missed the mark, but God has pardoned it. We deserve to perish, but God has forgiven us. He has absolved us from punishment. We are guilty. By nature, we are liable to God's wrath and curse. We owe a debt of obedience and a debt of suffering. But in Christ, the debt is canceled. The debt has been paid, in fact. Some would say the debt has been liquidated because it has been paid in Christ by his own precious blood. In other words, for every believer, the debt is gone. It's paid for by Christ. Just as we considered on Sabbath morning that God has forgiven his people, every believer, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against them, which was contrary to them, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So if you want to see the sins of God's people, the debt that they owe, you'll have to go to Calvary because it's nailed to the tree. He has not dealt with us after our sins. No, he has pardoned our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, he has not poured out his wrath upon us. He bestows a blessing upon us. We have earned the wages of sin, which is death. But instead of receiving those wages, he rewards us with righteousness and acceptance. The righteousness of Christ, that is the righteousness that he gives us. He gives us the reward that righteousness deserves. We don't deserve the reward, but Christ deserves the reward. He has earned it. He has merited that reward of everlasting life, and that reward of everlasting life is given to believers. So everyone who believes in Jesus, Jesus' righteousness is imputed to them. If we believe in Jesus, his righteousness covers us. And we receive the reward that his righteousness earns, which is what? Life and salvation. Bliss and glory forever and ever. That is what Jesus earned by his righteousness, but that is what we receive if we believe in him, because he gives us what his righteousness earns. Yes, God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, because for every believer their iniquities and sins were imputed to Christ, and he suffered for them. He suffered the punishment that their sins and iniquities deserve, and his righteousness is given to them. That is how God deals with his people, not after their sins, but according to the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness is what? It is meeting the perfect standard. We have missed that perfect standard. We have missed the mark. But Jesus lived up to that mark. His whole life conformed to that perfect standard. So it is his righteousness that clothes the believer. So if we're in Christ, we are covered with his righteousness, covered by the righteousness of him who was always perfect, who never missed the mark. Remember what the thief on the cross said to his fellow sufferer? We indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. They were getting what they deserved, punishment on a cross for their evil doings. That's what the thief on the cross was saying. We indeed justly. But this man, the one who was suffering next to them, he was innocent. And what did the thief say? He said, he hath done nothing amiss. Nothing amiss. Jesus was innocent. He was righteous. He met the law's demands. He did not miss the mark. He lived up to the mark. He has done nothing amiss. And that is how God deals with us, as if we had done nothing amiss, although we have. We have missed the mark times without number. But in Christ, God deals with us according to the righteousness of Christ, the one who has done nothing amiss. Not after our sins and iniquities, but according to his righteousness. And so, as the psalmist says in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That is how God deals with believers, redeeming them from destruction and crowning them with loving kindness, giving them the reward that righteousness deserves, although they have no righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness that covers them, and that is the basis of receiving the crown of loving kindness and tender mercies, so that every believer is accepted in the Beloved, accepted in him who is God's beloved Son, as God the Father said about the Lord Jesus Christ when a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And God is well pleased for Christ's sake with everyone who is in his beloved Son, accepted in the Beloved. So we see, friends, here from our text, the long-suffering of God, his forbearance. He has been patient with his people. He has not dealt with them after their sins. He has not rewarded them according to their iniquities. He is merciful and gracious. That is what the psalmist is telling us. The Lord is merciful and gracious, verse 8, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, but according to his mercy has dealt with us. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Though we are always sinning, he is not always chiding. And he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. The chastisements that God's people receive in love from God to them, they feel his displeasure. Yes, that is the immediate reaction. God is displeased with me. In other words, I'm the one who has sinned. I'm the one who has gone astray. God is not pleased with that. And so in love, he chastises us. And yes, that's feeling his displeasure. But even that, God has not chastised us in proportion to our sins. It shows again how forbearing God is. As Ezra said in chapter 9 and verse 13, seeing that thou art a God, that thou art our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this. God has punished us, he has chastised us, less than our sins deserve. And in wrath, God remembers mercy. When he is displeased with his people, he always remembers mercy. He deals with them in love. God is love, and it is his love to them in the first place that has sent his Son to die for them, so that his love could be exercised toward them in a way that is consistent with his holy nature and exact justice. God loved his people from eternity. They were sinners, they were guilty, they deserved his wrath, but he set his love upon them. And in his love to them, he sent his Son to die for them, to suffer the punishment that they deserve, so that his love that he already had for them may be exercised toward them in their experience. That is why we love him. We love him because he first loved us. His love to us was from eternity, and it was that which sent his Son to die for them. And then it comes into our experience when we, by grace, believe in Jesus, and we experience that love here on earth in time by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as Paul says, is that which sheds abroad that love in the hearts of God's people. It is the love of God that quickens them, gives them understanding, gives them the grace to obey. And so we think of the love of God, not just in the feelings, but in the whole life. It's his love coming to expression by giving us the grace to follow Christ and do his will. The unchangeable love of God, which is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So, friends, we should prize this mercy. We should prize this forgiveness. We should be ever in awe and marveling over the fact that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And how we should praise the Lord for this. We should praise the Lord for what he has not done, as well as what he has done. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. We should be thankful for that. And every one of us here tonight should be thankful that God has not dealt with us after our sins, or else we would be cast off and separated from God to all eternity without hope. But no, the Lord is merciful. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so we should not slight God's mercies, but prize them and value them. We should seek them first, above all things, with all our heart. We should seek this great blessing to be dealt with in mercy, to be dealt with according to the righteousness of Christ and not after our own iniquities. So pray, friend, draw me, we will run after thee. Help me to seek thy face and favor free. Enable me to come to the Savior. Oh, what greater joy could I have than to be found in Christ? What greater happiness than to know that your sins are forgiven? To not only be able to say that with every person here on earth today, he hath not dealt with me after my sins. Yes, he has spared me. I'm not in hell. But to be able to say that he has dealt with me according to the righteousness of Christ. Oh, I need to be clothed in his righteousness. I need that white robe of the righteousness of Christ. So, friend, pray that God would cover you with that righteousness, that he would deal with you according to the merit of Christ. Pray like the thief on the cross who said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What a reward the thief received when Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It was the reward of everlasting life that he did not deserve, but that which Christ deserved, and Christ purchased by his own blood and righteousness for every believer. So come to him saying, "Lord, remember me," with that love which thou bearest to thine own people, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Save me for Christ's sake. Come to Jesus saying, Lord, remember me. Do not stand aloof. Do not remain far away. But come, come near. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Come while there is hope. Come to him who is saying, turn to me and live. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. May he bless his word.